Good evening, everybody.
Broadcasting live from Studio 1A in Brooklyn, New York, this is Empire State Reptiles Live, specializing in connecting breeders and fans worldwide. Sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Empire State Reptiles Live. My name is Chris, and I am back here as your host once again. Today, we are continuing our Small Business Appreciation Series with KingDubia.com. We have decided to start this Small Business Appreciation Series to just shine some light on some of the smaller businesses in the reptile community and some people that aren't getting the recognition that they truly deserve. So here at Empire State Reptiles Live, we have decided that every year from now on, May will be our Small Business Appreciation Month. We might add another month. We have our eyes on the month of October to do that once again. And we just want to pay homage to our small businesses out there. So today, like I said, we continue. I know we were supposed to have Dr. P on the show, but he was unable to make it because he had a medical emergency to deal with last night, and it went further over, and he had already said that he might not be able to make it. So we were unable to get him on the show this weekend, but we're going to try for next weekend. Like I said, you need to bear with us a little bit when we do that show, because he is in a totally different country, totally different time zone. He's in Bali, so it's a little mixed up time zone wise. So we're going to try our best to get him on the show as soon as possible. So tonight's show is set for 30 minutes long, as all of our small business appreciation shows will be. So I think we should get right to the point and welcome on our special guest, Caesar from KingDubia.com.
Hey, Chris. Thank you for having me. This is really great.
Thank you for coming on the show. We really do appreciate having you on tonight.
No problem.
Yeah, so from my understanding, you recently opened up a shop. I think last week when I got in contact with you to get you on the show, you were just opening up, and but you've been doing this process or this business for quite a while, breeding Nubia roaches, but you just opened up for the general public?
Yeah, you know, it is interesting. I had a kind of a business idea, and I was lucky enough to have a pretty good chunk of time to set it up. And so what I decided to do was actually completely set up the business and make sure I could give amazing customer service. I had all the product. I had everything people would need. And I just kind of set a date. Within that time, I was sort of working on my business website and working on all of the promotional material and everything, and just kind of having a lot of fun with it. And then on May 5th, I sort of had that date set in my mind. My daughter picked it for me, and we decided just to go with May 5th. So actually, I was thinking I should have done it on May 4th, the International Star Wars Day, but it was May 5th. And so I had a little over a year to get everything together, and it was really great that I had that time. It made me feel really comfortable about the business.
Yeah, that's definitely great. So everybody, I know some of you are here for the giveaway. I forgot to mention that in my intro, but the giveaway will
be
announced at the... Oh, man. You remember. Come on.
I'm just kidding. No, I've been promoting it all week, so I think it's going to be fun. Somebody's going to get a lot of dubia.
Yes, I believe it was 500 dubia roaches.
That's right.
All right, yeah, so like I said before, that would be announced at towards the end of the broadcast tonight, so just stick around for that. I definitely have the person who won, as well as the runner-up, so we do generate two names from the pool of entries that we receive, just in case one person cannot take it. So we already have another name set aside. So let's just jump right into it. So what are dubia roaches, and why do you breed them? So what are they useful for?
Well, that's a good question. Most people don't know the answer, but I suspect that a lot of the people that are interested in your show and your fans, they've either heard of Dubias or they use them. Dubia roaches are considered a medium-sized roach, and they're perfect, according to a lot of people and myself, for feeding your reptiles or amphibians. And I kind of decided, we have a lot of pets at the house here. My daughters are very into animals. And over the years, we've kind of experimented with different pets, and we fall in love with all sorts of different animals. And we have a bearded dragon and a leopard gecko. And I was like, well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and figure out their nutrition. And I did a lot of sort of homework. And at the time, we were using crickets. And I live in a little town in northern Michigan, and it's a little sketchy sometimes getting local food for the animals. So I further searched and, you know, to see what people were feeding their animals. And Dubias kept coming up, and I was able to get a hold of some Dubias, and the animals just loved them. And what I loved about these little critters was that you could pretty much decide on the sizes that were perfect for you, as opposed to things like crickets or mealworms, which are great foods, but Dubias give you the option of picking a really tiny, small animal. If you have, say, a baby, or maybe not a baby, but a small little leopard gecko, you can go with the smallest little Dubias and go all the way up to an almost 2-inch long beetle for your pet. So that to me was really, really interesting. Plus, I love the idea of raising these things. So I did, and I did it for a long time, and I was like, this is fun. Wait a minute, this is turning into an obsession. Wait a minute, I can turn this into a business. And that's what happens. I wanted to also do something that my daughters could be a part of. It was a big deal for me to have my daughters learn, you know, how to work hard and be part of a process from start to finish. So it's been a lot of fun for us.
Yeah, that's great. So most people ask this question, and it's a question that has come up and is sometimes very debated. What sets Dubias apart from the traditional mealworm or the traditional cricket? Now, why should somebody pay more for roaches when they could pay less for a lot more mealworms than they can get of the same amount of price or less of the roaches?
That's a really good question. What it comes down to for me, and actually when I talked to you on the phone last week when we were talking about this, that was a question you brought up, and I've been thinking about it all week. The whole idea of having pets and having companions in your life, no matter what, you know, dog, cats, lizards, whatever, is to have it as a fun part of your life. So I think when I started King Dubia, I wanted King Dubia, and if you go to the website, it's got kind of a fun little irreverent edge to it. I wanted it to just be a fun thing because it's part of a fun hobby for some people, passion for some people. I didn't want it to be something that wasn't enjoyable. Now, I find, and this goes back to when I was a kid, having, you know, lots of roly-polies and shoeboxes and ant farms, I find having these animals, these Dubias, really interesting and satisfying. In fact, there are people out there that, you know, that on Instagram or Facebook, they'll post pictures of their Dubia collection, and they'll be all excited because there's babies and this and that. And I never get that from crickets and mealworms and superworms. People have them, and they're very nutritious. They're proven feeders. But when you get into something like Dubias or orange heads or something like that, people like, oh yeah, you know, it's almost like they're my pets too. So there's that aspect of it. Plus, another thing that I find really nice about Dubia roaches is that they live for up to about 2 years. The females can live for 2 years, and you have those different growing cycles. So let's say you have three different animals in your house, and they're all different sizes. Well, you can go ahead and have a large quantity of Dubia, and you can sort of feed off the small ones, let them get a little bit bigger, and then, you know, eventually some of them will start having babies, and then, you know, that kind of thing. So it becomes this process where, since they live so long and they don't have a high mortality and they don't smell and they don't make noise and they don't climb and they don't, you know, get in get into your stuff. It's just kind of a nice way of approaching the feeders. And I believe me, I've used my fair share of crickets, and I have mealworms here at the house, and I'm growing superworms, and I know that they're amazing value, but I also think that dubias add a little bit more flexibility and longevity.
Okay. So what proven nutritional value are we talking about that sets the dubia roach apart from the mealworm? So what type of nutrition does dubia roaches give your animals that mealworm don't? And what are the pros and the cons of feeding dubia besides the mealworms?
Well, I actually did a little homework on that. Now, I'm not a veterinarian. I'm not a biologist. I'm not an entomologist. I'm just a person who has this crazy idea for King Dubia. But I have done my homework. And with, let's say, depending on the feeder insect you're looking at, for instance, dubias, they break down to about 28% protein, 61% moisture, 6% fat, there's some carbs, and there's a little bit of ash. Now, compare that to mealworms. Mealworms are a little bit more moisture. They're 64% moisture, but they drop down to 19% protein. So the dubias are 28 and the mealworms are 19, and there tends to be a lot more fat in the mealworms. And superworms are 19% protein, and dubias are 28% protein. So, but here's the thing. I'm not, an expert on reptiles or amphibians, and I don't know what your pet necessarily, what range people are looking for. So there may be somebody out there and say, well, I've done my homework too, and I think mealworms fit that profile a little bit better. And I think that's fantastic. But there's a lot of people out there who are finding out that dubias are a really complete package for their nutritional needs for their pets. And I can't debate with somebody out there who's has 20 years of mealworm experience, but if you break it down into percentages, the dubias offer a lot for the money.
Okay. All right, so I want to go into husbandry of dubia roaches and how are you able to keep your dubia roaches? Are they similar to the mealworms, or how are we able to keep them alive and thriving for the 2 years, possible 2 years that you said that they can live up to?
Sure. Well, the thing about it's actually a lot of fun. And this is where I kind of really started getting into the whole process. If you have these little dubias, they do really, really well between 85 and 95 degrees Fahrenheit. And they do really, really well with a simple diet of fresh fruit, of greens. I sell a dubia chow. There's a lot of ways of getting them hydration. I use water gel crystals, but a lot of people will use, like fresh fruit and things like that. But what happens is if you keep them in the proper temperature, and in an environment that lets them have some climbing. So for instance, a lot of people will have totes with egg flats in them. If you stand them up sort of vertically and you have a food source and a water source and a heat source, it's practically impossible not to let these things grow and have babies. What you have to remember is that the environment you're creating is also really attractive to things like fruit flies and regular house flies. So what we do in our shop is we have a lot of the large totes that everyone sees at the big box stores. And we have them filled with egg flats. And we make sure that there's a heat source that keeps them regulated. We have all of our shelves lined with Flex Watt heat tape, which is a pretty common industry standard for people who raise reptiles. Yeah, and we have everything on a thermostat, and everything is monitored for temperature. So I'm able to keep all of these bins at a constant temperature. And because of that, and because of the constant addition of food and moisture, and then everything gets cleaned once a month, it's like an explosion. And if someone wanted to keep dubias at home, we sell a little product that is basically a tote with ventilation, but it's pretty simple. People can do it in a lot of different containers. But if you just sort of keep things clean and keep things fed and hydrated at the proper temperature, you can watch these things grow and they'll last forever. And, you know, you can pick the sizes that you want.
Okay. So let's be kind of realistic here. Now, we know that everything that you do in life has its pros and its cons, as well as this flows over to keeping feeders. Pros and cons, of course, with the crickets. We have the smell, but we have some great, I would say, great feeder insects. I mean, I don't really like crickets that much, and I know a lot of breeders and reptile keepers don't, but people love crickets. So what would you say is a couple pros and a couple cons of keeping dubia roaches?
Well, I touched on all the pros, but I'm happy to talk about some the pros again. you know, I just think, just to finish that off, they fit all of the different needs for people who are looking for a good feeder for nutrition and size and ease of care, and they're fun. Like I said, some people keep them as pets and are actually just as interested, or maybe not just, but almost as interested in raising these dubias. But the cons can be the stigma. I think a lot of people, when you say, I'm feeding my animal roaches, immediately people think of apartment buildings and opening cabinets and finding roaches. And these are not those animals. These are very different. There is the cons can also be, believe it or not, them exploding in breeding, and you could have too many. So sometimes people will be like, you know, I've got my leopard gecko and he loves blah, blah, blah. And they buy a bunch, which is great, underlining. But then they decide that they're going to go ahead and do everything right. And before you know it, in a couple months, they're the people on Facebook saying, hey, I've got an extra 500 dubias. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's cool because you can always find someone that wants them, sometimes local pet stores. But that can be a responsibility. And whereas mealworms are, in my opinion, you know, you have your proper tote, you have your proper container, you have your proper food, but you almost forget about them. And you can forget about them. Before you know it, you see a little mealworm beetle and you're like, oh my God, it's a miracle of life. You know, it's like it's happening before your eyes, but there isn't an upkeep. So when you have something like dubias, you know, there is an issue of the hydration. So you need some water gel, or you need to make sure you're doing the fresh fruit. Then you have to make sure that you are willing to take them out of the tote every month or every couple of months and do a little cleaning. So those are, as far as I'm concerned, those are really the only things that people might consider drawbacks, you know, the sort of stigma to roaches. But if you've seen the dubias up until they're adults, the nymphs, they kind of look like those roly-polies that live underneath logs that we all played with. And to me, that's kind of fascinating, and there really isn't a stigma about that. It isn't until they get to be adults that people say, wow, that looks like a sci-fi movie roach.
So, yeah, of course.
Anyway, but I mean, that's really the only thing I can really think of. And I think that people, again, going back to my point earlier, this is a fun activity, having these pets in your life, and it should be fun. So if fun for you is to get a really nice big shipment of superworms and be happy and forget about it, throw in a few potatoes and forget about it, then that's the way it should be. But if your idea is fun, is to have more of an interactive feeder, then that's why I like dubias.
Of course. So, when we go into feeding dubia roaches to your reptiles, how do you go about that? What is the recommended, I wouldn't say dosage, but amount? So have you found the perfect amount that that fits particular type of reptiles?
Yeah, you know what I did on the website is I put on the page of the website that has the roaches, I put suggested sizes. So I listed, like, if you have a large, you know, this and that and the other thing, this size might be good for you. But what it really comes down to is people who have animals are very, very in tune with what their animals need and what they really want. And what I suggest is that get a size that you feel is maybe a little smaller, because, you know, if you're feeding your animal, if our bearded dragon is big enough to eat the full size adult roaches, there's nothing wrong with feeding the bearded dragon mediums. You know, it's just a matter of what's available. But then you get to know, you know, how many insects your animal can eat at a time. I find it really, really interesting and fascinating when I'm on places like Facebook and Instagram, which I'm spending a lot of time lately doing advertising. People are fascinated and love showing images of their animals eating. And it was really cute. I had a person who bought some Dubias from me last week, and she sent the most amazing, sweet link of video from her her Instagram sort of feed or whatever it's called, of her little bearded dragon eating Dubias. And it was so exciting. And I think that kind of process where people decide, you know, okay, well, old Billy over there, he's not the eater, but, you know, Bowser over there, he's the eater. So, yeah, okay, Bowser eats six and old Billy is only eating three. But that's what you figure out as a pet owner. And that's part of the fun. So I put guidelines for sizes, but some animals eat a lot and some don't. And everybody knows that. There's always a story of the snake that only eats one of this, or the turtle that only eats some of this. So, you know,
yeah,
that's for the owner to figure out.
Of course. So why, in your personal opinion, I know you might not be able to answer this and say this about everybody, but why are Dubia roaches so expensive, so much more expensive than the mealworms or your traditional crickets or any other feeder that has been around much longer? Why are they so much expensive? And do you think that price would gradually drop, or do you think it's rock steady now? Or
I think that, you know, that that's a question that I thought a lot about when I was getting into the business. And when you have a scenario where the product is really high quality and the product doesn't go away, meaning that it's got a really long shelf life, I think it's in the sort of the person who's selling these things says, right, well, you know, there isn't going to be die-off. I know that when I was buying a lot of crickets, I'm fully admitting that, you know, I probably killed a lot of crickets by just not doing it right when I first started out. But there was a die-off, and it was almost like you expected X number of bugs to be dead. But that's not the case with Dubia. So maybe that's one of the reasons why they're more expensive, because you have these things that last a long time. They grow into different sizes. So for instance, if someone is buying some Dubias for me, they may stock up and they may say, like, no, I'm going to purchase once and I'm going to purchase a lot and I'm going to go ahead and let them grow. And as my animal grows into them, I'll be set. I don't think that's really the way it goes with things like crickets and mealworms. I think it's kind of like people put an order in for 500 and then they use what they can, and some of them pass away and they just order some more. So they're kind of like a high-end reptile food. But I do think that prices always fluctuate with market demand. And in my case, I'm trying to be very competitive. And being a new business, I put a lot of sort of discount codes and little secret things you get when you order from me to try and win people's confidence and their business. Because I think, you know, customer service, in my case, is really high in the priority list. But with all of that extra work and with all that extra attention to detail, I think that sometimes that can be reflected in the price. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of pros to them. So maybe that's why some people charge more.
All right.
Does that answer your question?
yes, it definitely does. Very in depth and detailed. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is about that time of the show, the time where all of you guys were rejoicing, and it's time to announce the winner of our giveaway. So, the way we do the giveaways, we put all the interest into a random generator, and we generate a winner. Sorry about that. But if you are living in the states Hawaii and Florida, obviously I cannot tell by everybody's Instagram account where you're living currently. So if you're living in the states Florida or Hawaii or territories, whatever you want to say, you will not be able to accept the giveaway. And when you send us your address, you will not get any dubious in the mail because they are illegal in those two places, I believe. Those are the only two places they're illegal in. But we are about to announce the winner. And the winner of tonight's giveaway is KC Zoo on Instagram. That is spelled as KaseyS0O. Once again, that is KaseyS0O. So I did not tell you guys that you had to tune in to actually win the giveaway or accept the giveaway. So if you're listening, if you listen to this, make sure you give us a call. I mean, not give us a call. Either send me a DM or send King Dubia a DM, and we'll get everything worked out, and you'll get your dubious in the mail. You have 24 hours to accept, or else we will be announcing another winner on our Instagram page within the next 24 to 48 hours if you do not accept the giveaway. Once again, thank you, Caesar. We really do appreciate you coming on the show tonight. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
Chris,
because
this was
we
great.
Definitely
thank
enjoyed
you.
You.
And, your shows are really high quality. I've been listening to them this week, and I really appreciate you doing this. Thank you again.
Thank you for coming on. Thank you. We'll be talking to you very soon.
Sounds good.
Okay, bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that does it for us for tonight. I hope that you guys enjoyed our little show. I know it was shorter than all of our other shows, but of course, our small business appreciation series are only 30 minutes long, so we must stick to that trend that we have going. Next week, we'll be announcing our schedule. So next week's schedule will be coming out this week. Not 100% sure when I'm going to release it, but I'll be releasing it sometime before Wednesday for sure. Once again, I thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of Empire State Reptiles Live. I really do appreciate all of your support and all of your listens as we gear up for awesomeness. I don't know how to end the show, but I thank you so much for tuning in to Empire State Reptiles Live once again, and I love you all, and good night.
If you care enough for the living, make a little space.